1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 1 says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, and the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you once again today, and we just ask that you would bless us through your word, help us to understand it, and recognize what you are calling us to, Lord, and we pray that we might answer your call, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. As we've seen in the past few weeks, as believers, there is a calling of God upon each of us. And even though many might assume it to be true, God didn't save us from the punishment of hell for us just to go back to life as it was before. That God, when he saved us, our entire world fundamentally changed. We have a new direction, new purpose, a new focus. And we don't live unto ourselves anymore. Now we live unto him who died for us and rose again. And we're saved for a purpose. And there's a calling upon our lives. And we want to understand what that calling is and then learn to rise to God's calling by God's enabling. And we've looked at a couple different facets of this calling that we have in Christ. First of all, we looked at that we're called to be saints, that we're to be God's holy ones, that we are to be separated from sin, separated unto God, to be used for his purposes. And we actually saw that mentioned in the second verse of this chapter that we looked at. As well, we looked at later on in 1 Corinthians that we are called unto peace, that we are to seek to live peaceably with all men. We're not to be fighting with flesh and blood. Instead, we'll be fighting against those spiritual forces of wickedness, which are the true enemies. But this day, we want to contemplate yet another facet of our calling, and that is found in verse 9 of the passage that we read. And in this passage, Paul speaks of the grace of God, which we recognize to be God's unmerited favor that has been given us by Jesus Christ, and that we see how it talks about that that through Christ, through the grace of God, that in everything we are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. That God has given us many things and really our cup runneth over of just all the things that he has given us for life. And so we think of it that as with the Corinthians, so with us, that anything that we are, anything that we have, anything that we are enabled to do is because of God's grace, because of his empowering, because of his enabling. And he has begun a good work in us, he will continue that work in us, so that in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes to establish his kingdom and reward his servants, we might be found blameless. And that's we think of that both individually and then collectively as his church, that we might be presented to him without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that we would be holy and without blame before him in love. And from this introduction, we recognize that Paul then begins to address the issues facing the Corinthian church, and as we quickly find, there's a whole lot of issues for him to address. There's a lot of things that are going on in the Corinthian church that he has to deal with. And so it's kind of, we see this introduction, and then immediately he starts to confront them with their problems. And so it's easy for us to kind of get focused on that, and his dealing with the problems. But I think as we do that, we kind of overlook verse number 9. It's essentially kind of a statement all by itself. We kind of see the first part of that, where like from verse 4 down to verse 8, essentially it's one big sentence. And it's a complete thought and everything. It almost seems to conclude. But then there's this one little verse, verse 9, before he gets into the other things. And it's very important. We don't want to miss what it has to say. And it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so as we attempt to gain a full understanding of our calling in Christ, we recognize from verse 9 that we are invited, we are summoned, we are to be employed in the vocation of entering into and enjoying fellowship with Christ himself. And so what is fellowship? How would we define that concept? Fellowship has with it the idea of companionship and togetherness. But we realize that just because you have two people that are together doesn't necessarily mean that they have fellowship. You could have two people in a room, say two siblings, and they could be in the same room, but they're fighting and scrapping with each other, that there's not a fellowship, that there's a fight going on. And we would recognize that there's not fellowship in that situation. For there to be fellowship, there has to be some unity, some commonality, some agreement between two individuals or two parties for there to be fellowship. And indeed, the prophet Amos, he asked the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so there has to be that agreement for some to enjoy fellowship. It's the idea that a person would have a togetherness and a companionship, and that you would walk in unity, in agreement, that you would have a commonality of purpose, a commonality of focus. Someone came up with a definition which I thought really helps to understand the concept. And they said that fellowship is everyone in the same boat, rowing in the same direction. And you can think of it in those terms, that's how it is to be, that we are, all those are have the same focus, same purpose, going the same way. And so we think of it, fellowship is something we would recognize to be desirable, something that is enjoyable. And we realize that if we have fellowship one with another rather than fighting one with another, that we can accomplish a great deal more. That you can just think of the picture that if you have everybody in the same boat and they're rowing in different directions, you're just going to go in circles. You're not going to go anywhere. But when you're together and you're focused, then you can accomplish a great deal. And we recognize, too, that in fellowship there is a closeness, there is a camaraderie, that in and of itself is a blessing and encouragement, that where when a person has fellowship, that, say, if they're in difficult times, if someone's with them, it's that old adage, misery loves company, that it's you when you're in trouble, it's nice to have someone at least go through it with you. And then, of course, when you have good times, it's good to have someone to rejoice with as well. And so when we think of that, and that we're called in the fellowship of his Son, we realize that is that to which God has called us to enjoy with his Son, Jesus Christ. A companionship, a togetherness, a camaraderie, a unity, and a joining of purposes and focus one with another. But as well, we recognize that having fellowship is more than just having a relationship with someone. That we have a relationship with God the Father and with God the Son because of his work on the cross for us. That we have been adopted into his family. That we are now essentially brothers with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we realize that once we've trusted in Christ as Savior, we can never lose that relationship. But yet the strength and the closeness of that relationship can fluctuate over time based on our obedience or our disobedience. That we can be, even though we are children of God, we recognize that we can be disobedient children. We can fall under the chastening hand of our Heavenly Father. And we recognize even that, that he continues to love us. And we recognize from the scriptures that his hand of chastening is a sign of his love upon us. But when we're in that situation, we know that that's not all that our relationship with God could be or should be. That's not what God has designed for us, is just basically to continue to be disobedient children and have Him continually chasing us. He calls us to be obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to former lust or ignorance, but as He is holy, that we're to be holy. And so we recognize that when we repent of our sins, we draw close to Him once again. By His grace, we live for Him and we follow Him. Then we enjoy the sweetness and blessing that God desires for us to experience. And that is what we recognize to be fellowship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is what God is calling us unto. And as we have seen in previous weeks, the Greek word from which we translate called or calling has with it the threefold connotation of an invitation, of a summons, and of a vocation. And so we can think of God's call to the fellowship of His Son to be a glorious invitation, that we get saved, we rejoice in that, but we, a lot of times we look at ourselves, and it is legitimate for us to look at ourselves in that way. We look at ourselves as being still sinful, to be really unworthy of God's love. We look at God as being so high and holy, being so busy with dealing with everything that's going on in this world. And we have a tendency to think that our relationship with God is of necessity going to have to be a long-distance relationship. That we're going to pray to Him and He's far away in heaven. And as He has much to deal with, we only really pray to Him when we have a real definite need, because we figure, well, He's too busy to deal with the little stuff. I've got to kind of muddle through that. And that's what we think. And we kind of pray, well, okay, well, I'll put my request to the Lord, and I hope that He'll bless me with a response in time. And a lot of times we figure, well, He's kind of left us on earth, and I'm going to meet Him one day, and I need to just do the best I can and kind of muddle through life, and I pray that when I see Him again, that it'll be pleasing in His sight, the life that I live. And the thought that we would actually be invited by God to draw close to Him, to walk with Him, to walk with Christ and commune with Him, that it isn't something where we kind of think, well, Christ touched my life when I got saved, and I'm going to meet Him again when I get to heaven, but then the rest is just kind of me doing the best I can, and the Lord will kind of send me help when I really need it. That's sometimes what we think, but that's not at all what He wants for us. And He's inviting us to be close to Him, that each day that we are invited to have fellowship with Him, that we can have Him with us, that we can enjoy His companionship, that we who are sinners, saved by grace, that we would be invited to such a thing, that it seems so impossible, that we're just not worthy of it, that it's too good to be true. But we want to recognize that is what God is calling us to. That sometimes we would think, well, such a closeness and a fellowship with God, well, that can really only occur with a select few that are just really godly and close to God. Or we think, well, if I ever was to experience that closeness and that fellowship with God, it's really, you're probably only going to be kind of a once-in-a-lifetime event where God really touches my life, and it just was such a moving experience, but then sort of the rest of my life, I hope to kind of get back to that somehow, but it never actually gets to that point. But really, we want to recognize that the fellowship of His Son, and we see that from Corinthians, He isn't writing this sage specifically to Timothy or to someone that says, well, you're called to the fellowship of His Son, but it's not for everyone else. It's for the whole church, and especially, you think with the Corinthian church, with all their problems and everything else, that you think, well, if any group was not worthy of being able to enter into the fellowship of His Son, it might be them. But He's saying that we're all called into fellowship of His Son. And it isn't to be just on the rare occasion. That we want to understand that God's plan for us is that fellowship with Him would be where we reside. That would be the normal for us. That we would abide in him and him in us, that we would be as it talks about, that he is the vine and we are the branches and we are connected with him, that as he talks about of how he calls us to come with him and come unto him that we are labor and are heavy laden, he will give us rest. And he says, take my yoke upon me, you, and learn of me. That idea that we would be yoked with him, that we would be fellow laborers with Christ. That's what he wants us to do, that he's inviting us to that. And it isn't just for the select few, that it's for each of us. And we see that in 1 John, how the Apostle John speaks to the believers, and this we would recognize to be one of the general epistles. It isn't just sort of specifically to a certain group or to a certain church. It's to basically all believers completely. And it says that, verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what he was doing. He was sharing with them the truth, that and so that they could have fellowship with them as the apostles, and the fellowship that they had was with the Father and with his Son, and he wanted them to enter into that fellowship as well. And so it is an invitation, and it's an invitation we want to respond to, that just the thought when we realize this is what he wants me to have, that he's actually inviting me into his presence. He's inviting me to walk with him. It's kind of interesting. There's the word in the scriptures of exhortation, and it's kind of interesting because you have the word for call and calling. The Greek word that's used is kaleo, to call, and exhortation is parakaleo, and it's the idea to call alongside. It's the idea that that you as a Christian, say if you're a more mature Christian, that you would call along someone that's a younger Christian and kind of put your arm around them and walk with them and encourage them, kind of guide them and direct them and kind of show them what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. And it's really kind of interesting when you think of that. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus wants to do with us, that he's calling us alongside him. That he says, come and follow me, come be with me. And let's walk together. You don't have to shoulder this alone. I want to be with you. And it's such a blessed thing to think about. And we want to just realize how great that invitation is and not delay in accepting it. That it's like, if that's what he wants me to do, I want to jump at that opportunity. I don't want to miss out. But as well, we recognize that the call to fellowship with Christ is a summons upon our life. And as a summons, we have a solemn duty. We have an obligation to respond to his call to fellowship. And so you think of it, for us as believers, if we have been adopted as God's children, we have been allowed to have a relationship with God, but then we never enjoy any of that relationship. We never actually enter into fellowship with him. Then instead, we're kind of off doing our own thing. We realize that's not at all where we're supposed to be as believers. That's our place is at the Lord's side, laboring together with him, looking to him for guidance and empowering. That's what we want to do, that we're not there to live for ourselves anymore. And that's sometimes what we can kind of think, that it's sort of, well, kind of, I get close to God in the difficult times, and but then when everything's going fine, I can just kind of neglect him. And of course, kind of what happens when we do that is a lot of times we neglect him, and that's when we get into the difficult times, and we're kind of like the Israelites in the days of the judges, that sort of we wander from the Lord, trouble comes, we ask for him for help, and he delivers us, and we thank him, and then we forget him. And we're not to do that. It's an example of what not to do, but yet we find ourselves doing that so often. But it's more of a thought that every day as we wake up, that it's recognizing that I need to be with the Lord. I need to follow Him. And that's the idea of it as well, is that if we're having fellowship with the Lord, if anybody's going to be leading, it's going to be Him. And so we want to follow His leading. We want to follow His guidance. And be with Him. That is what He expects of us. And it is not unreasonable for Him to do that. That's what He's called us to. But then thirdly, we think that the fellowship of God's Son is a vocation to which we are called. It is what we are to be employed in, day in and day out. That we think of the jobs that we have, the things that we're supposed to do, that we kind of figure out, well, this is what I'm to do during the day to accomplish these things. But kind of waking up every morning and realizing much more as a Christian, that yes, all those other things kind of fit into my life, but I'm to be actively engaged and employed in seeking to be in God's fellowship of His Son, remaining in that fellowship and being blessed by that fellowship. That's what I'm to be seeking out, to be close to Him. And that as I do that, it would be evident all around that that's what our focus is, that I'm not just kind of living for myself, kind of being distracted by all these other things, but it's this thought that God is on my mind, that God is with me, and that I'm living in that reality. That's why I get up in the morning every day, is to be with the Lord. That's the vocation, and we seek to walk worthy of the vocation in which we are called. But as well, when we think of the other facets of our calling in Christ that we've already touched upon, we realize how they all fit together so well, that we think about that we are called to be saints, we are called to be holy, called to be separated from sin in order that we might be separated unto God. And so as believers, it speaks in Ephesians 5 and verse 11. It says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And so it's a thought that because we are believers, there is things of necessity that we can't be a part of. We can't have fellowship with these things. We don't have anything in common with them anymore, that we're not in agreement with that. And so we don't have fellowship with that anymore. But it's because we have been delivered from the power of darkness and we have now been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. So now we no longer have fellowship with those things. Instead, we have fellowship with Him. That we are separated unto, or away from sin, separated unto God. And its design is He wants us to have fellowship with Him. He wants us to be close to Him. That's what we are to be devoted unto. And as well, you think about that we as believers, we have been called unto peace. We think of it primarily in terms of peace with our fellow man, that we're to seek to live peaceably with all men. But we recognize as well that because of what Christ has done, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really, in a lot of ways, how we learn to have peace with our fellow man, is because of that peace that we have with God first. We realize that as believers, we're not to be fighting God anymore. That's what we did before we were saved. We're enemies of God. That now we are to surrender to Him. That we are to be obedient unto Him. That we are to walk in full agreement with Him. And so as we do that, essentially, wherever He leads, we're following, we're walking hand in hand, we're in fellowship with Him. That we are in peace with God. And so we have fellowship one with another. And so we recognize this call upon us, that we are called under the fellowship of His Son. And so the question comes, well, how do we rise to that calling upon our lives? Well, first of all, we need to realize that if we are to walk with Christ and He with us, if we need to go where He leads and not the other way around, that sometimes that's sort of what we hope to do, is we have God be with us, and we're going to do whatever we want to do, and we hope that He blesses us in that. I remember when Alicia was little, when we lived in BC, I had a a bike, and we got one of those little seats in the back that so she could sit in the back and I could ride her and take her around town a little bit, and she enjoyed it. But it was kind of interesting because I kind of looked at her as being my sidekick, and she kind of looked at me as being her chauffeur. And basically, we would go in different places, and we'd sometimes have kind of a usual path, but sometimes they thought, well, I'll take her a different way, show her some new things, go to a different park or something like that. And you'd hear her in the back just kind of fussing, well, where are you going? What are you doing? This is not the normal way. Like, she wasn't talking, but she just could tell from her body language and her convulsions that she was not agreeing with what we were doing. But it's kind of the way that we are, is that sort of we want God to kind of be with us and be in fellowship with us and do what we want Him to do. But it's the other way around, that we realize if anybody's going to take the lead, He's going to take the lead. We need to follow Him. That if He's leading us somewhere, might be a place we've never been before, a place that we're uncomfortable with, but the fact is He's with us in it, and so we don't have to be afraid. And we need to learn to obey, that He knows what He's doing, and we want to follow Him. That it's kind of the thing that we want to have it to a point in our Christian life where we value fellowship with Christ so much that we don't want to do anything that would separate us from that fellowship. That sometimes we have our own ideas, we want to go our own way, but when we realize that to do that I have to break fellowship with the Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm not willing to do that. I'm willing to give that up so I can have fellowship with Him. And it's kind of the thing that we're not doing our own thing and hoping that God comes along to bless it. We walk with God and knowing that He will bless us in that. That we walk with Him in accordance with His Word, and as we do that, we can be assured of fellowship with Him. And it talks about this in 1 John chapter 1. That John says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That we understand that light has no fellowship with darkness, that you can't mix it together. And so it's something that we judge our own lives and our own hearts. We see, well, what am I doing? Am I walking according to the light of God's Word? Am I walking according to what He has shown for me to do? And if I walk in the light as He is in the light, then I have fellowship with Him, and I enjoy that. And we have fellowship one with another as we do that as well. And as we come to Him and seek His forgiveness, that we're cleansed from our sins. But instead, if we persist in what we're doing, we actually turn away from God's leading, we miss out, and we're not in the fellowship that we desire to be in. And we want to realize that it is so valuable, so precious to have that fellowship with Him, that it should be something that we find where we're out of fellowship, that it should never be like days or weeks that we go being apart from the fellowship of the Lord. That we should feel it immediately, that when we realize that something's not right, that we need to make it right, and seek to make that fellowship all the deeper. And as well, we need to think too that as we seek to rise to the call of fellowship with Christ, that in doing that we need to seek the fellowship of like-minded believers that are seeking the same things. That it's the idea that if we have fellowship with God and we're each seeking God, then naturally we're going to have fellowship one with another. And so as we seek the Lord, and we look for others that are seeking the Lord, that it's the idea of iron sharpening iron, that man can sharpen the countenance of his friend, that we can be a blessing to others in that fellowship of Christ is something that we're called to enjoy, and it's something that we can think of individually between us and Christ. We're called to it, but then also collectively, that all of us are called to that same fellowship, That it's, we think of it of just so many different pictures of different things in the Bible. Of we think of in the future of the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we're called to sit with the Lord, and we think as well of the Lord's Supper, where we commune with Him, that we even partake of Him in a way symbolically. That it's all of it is that idea of being together with Him. That and even it, we think of the idea of how God compares Christ and the church to the relationship of husband and wife, that actually marriage was designed by God to be a reflection of the relationship He wants us to have. And it's the idea that just as with husband and wife, you don't want to be in the house together but then be fighting. You want to have that closeness and that love for one another. That's the same thing that God wants each of us to enjoy, and for us collectively to enjoy with Him, is that closeness, that love, that togetherness, that it is a precious thing, and that we want to value it and seek after it, and seek any opportunity to be engaged in that, and encourage others as well. That if we see someone that's straying, sometimes we get upset with them and whatever it might be, but we want to think of it, well, do you realize what you're leaving? Do you realize where you're departing from? Then come back into the fold. It's not worth being out there away from God. You want to be close to Him. That's the safest place. That's the most blessed place you can be in your life, is to be with Him. And so it's the thought that if fellowship with Christ is something that we all are called to enjoy, the more that we can encourage each other in that, the better it is for all of us. Paul speaks of this in Philippians 2. In verse 1 to 3, it says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." And you think of it as well, that the way that we relate to one another, that can affect our fellowship with the Lord. That it talks about as husband and wife, that if the husband does not show due benevolence to his wife and treat her with honor, that his prayers can be hindered. And it's kind of the thought too, that if as John talks about it, if we say that we love God but then we hate our brother, then there's something wrong there, because if we can't love our brother that we've seen, how can we love God that we've not seen? And so it's learning to have fellowship with one another, and then fellowship with God as well, and it, learning to be like-minded, that we're all seeking the same thing, we're all seeking to follow the Lord, that we're of one mind, that we're not fighting one another, that's not at all what we are called to do. We are called into peace, and it comes through a lot of times through lowliness of mind, of putting others before ourselves, getting our pride out of the way, because that's where trouble comes from and strife comes from, pride, and learning to have fellowship one with another and ultimately with God Himself. And so we think again of how that our fellowship with Christ, it is God's calling upon us, is what we are called to. It is a tremendous privilege that we would say we are so unworthy of, but because of what Christ has done in cleansing away our sins through His blood on the cross of Calvary, that we can come to Him and we can enjoy that fellowship and closeness. But as well, it is also a solemn obligation that we need to realize that it isn't something that we're to wait or we're to neglect or sort of seek His fellowship only when things are really bad, but seek it every day. That is our obligation and is our vocation of what we're to be doing as believers. And so may the Lord help us in this area as well, that we would rise to the call. Dearly Father, we thank You again for Your word, and we just thank You for what Your Son has done for us, Lord, and we just pray You would help us, Lord, that we would realize what You have called us to, and that we would seek Your fellowship and value it as we should. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to our last hymn, hymn number 261.